This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Watergate legend G. Gordon Liddy, who's also now the host of the G. Gordon Liddy Show right here on the Radio America Network, a great friend of ours here at WorldNet Daily. Gordon is our guest because it is his 80th birthday. And Gordon, it's a thrill to celebrate with you today.
Well, I am celebrating. I really never thought that I would live to be this old, to be perfectly frank. The Lord has spared me for a reason. One of the pleasant things about my life these days is knowing Joseph Farah and WorldNet Daily. I went on a cruise with Mr. Farah and with WorldNet Daily back when Mrs. Liddy was with us, and we had a wonderful time. Really did. He's great folks.
Well, we certainly appreciate all your contributions to WorldNet Daily and certainly Radio America. And I know a lot of the American people still trust you and turn to you each weekday for your analysis on the news and making sure that they are aware of big stories breaking. But this is really the latest chapter in a life devoted to public service, from your time in service to this nation in the United States military, to your time with the FBI, and obviously getting involved then with politics. What was the genesis for that? What made public service such a natural choice for you?
Well, when I was graduated from Fordham University, I was handed in one hand my diploma and in my other my commission as a second lieutenant and my orders to report for active duty, because it was during the Korean War. And after I was out of the service, or actually off active duty, I stayed in the reserve for a few years. I kind of missed it. You know, when you're working for something that is obviously greater than you are, it's a great feeling. And so after I had completed law school and had passed the New York bar exam, I went into the FBI. And the only reason I ever left the FBI was because my father, who had a Wall Street law firm of his own, asked me if I would please come and join him. And I did. When I had the opportunity to go back into government again, that was with the Nixon administration, I did that with the Treasury and then with the White House. And so when I got out of prison, the first thing I did was lecture and things like that. And then I wrote the book Will, and I was substituting for a talk show host up in New York, and I was heard on the air by the man who was then running WJFK, and he called the station manager, and he said, you know, give Liddy a shot there. And his station manager said, Liddy doesn't do this. And he said, listen, I'm listening to him right now. You know, I like the way he does it. So I got a week's tryout. And the other person who was trying out was a very nice fellow who was blind. And when I won the tryout and got the job, I felt really guilty because I said, gee, I've taken a job away from a blind man. I really felt bad. You know, I get the same sense of satisfaction as I did from my public service work and working in radio. What I like about it is, it's not public radio. And I don't think I'd get the sense of satisfaction by working for public radio. And I have to confess that I get a lot of my news breaks from WorldNet Daily. You know, they've got this red alert that Dr. Corsi does for WorldNet Daily. That's a subscription service, and I recommend it to anybody. He's way ahead of everybody. He's very, very good.
Let me ask you one question about Watergate, and then we'll talk about your job right now. Mm-hmm. What you're most famous for, of course, is for not divulging certain things. A lot of people, obviously, were angry about that. Other people admired you greatly for it. For those who are too young to remember that, explain your thought process at the time and why you thought it was so important to protect those.
Well, I was working for the President of the United States, not when, in the sense that he had anything to do with Watergate. He didn't. He had no idea about Watergate, and that was by design. The best and most plausible denial is the truth. And so, you know, we kept everything about Watergate away from the president so that if anything went south, he could issue a denial and it would be truthful. I knew that some people would probably, who were weak, would break and would talk, but I didn't expect anybody who was above the food chain that I was in there would talk, and I figured if I just kept my mouth shut, they couldn't get past me. and that would protect the president. So that was the position I took. And, you know, any damn fool can keep his mouth shut. That doesn't take a lot of talent.
It did certainly take some perseverance, though. And then, as you mentioned before, how you made your break into radio. Given all the issues that go on, and certainly your expertise in politics and national security, and really all areas of political discourse, what do you see in the years leading up to today, and as you go forward in your career as a radio talk show host, as your role? What issues, what ideas do you find yourself most excited about conveying?
Things I'm most excited about conveying is the central truth of the secret to the success of this country in the past, the problems that it's having now, and the fact that returning to the ways of the past are the way we can restore America to its unchallenged and unchallengeable preeminent position economically as well as militarily. And that is to get the government out of the way. The best definition of capitalism I've ever heard is that it's what occurs when you just allow people to do what they would do naturally. And to the extent you do that, you are going to have entrepreneurship flourish. The country will become economically extraordinarily powerful and healthy. To the extent that you impede that in any way by government, you start on a slippery slope downward. And that's what we've been doing. You know, regulations for this, regulations for that, the government subsidizing things because they want people to behave in a certain way. They want people to buy certain products. That is the road to disaster. I think the American people finally awakened to that fact. That is the message of the last election on November the 2nd.
This certainly had a major impact. How important do you think it was for talk radio in general? And as you engaged with your listeners leading up to November 2nd, that talk radio played a role, that your show in particular played a role?
The American people were in a very disadvantaged position because the mainstream media, that would be the axis of the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, they had a party line. They were advocates. They had an agenda. And it was essentially socialist. And that was very, very bad for this country. And the American people had no way of getting any other information because these people had a lock on it. Well, talk radio broke the lock. And certainly not just me, but, you know, Rush and everybody else. Rush is the guy who started it. And then I was chronologically second after Rush. A lot of other very good people, very talented people got in. And the next thing you know, the American people had access to accurate information. It was the same sort of thing as happened during the Cold War. You had all these people locked up behind the Iron Curtain with nothing but the Communist Party propaganda organs feeding them the party line. That was happening over here, only it was the mainstream media. What we did for the people behind the Iron Curtain, we had Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, and things of that sort. And that's what Rush and I and others started doing for the American people, was breaking the monopoly that the mainstream media had. And for the first time, these people said, oh, that's what's really happening. Yeah, that makes sense. WorldNet Daily took advantage of the fact that there is an internet. You know, it was invented, not by Al Gore, by the way. And Joseph Farah was smart enough to recognize, okay, here's a whole different and additional medium through which the truth can be disseminated to the American people. And that was the genesis of WorldNet Daily.
Final question before we let you go and celebrate the rest of your birthday. What do you want to accomplish in your next 80 years?
Well, I'd like to celebrate the return of the United States to economic as well as military preeminence in the world. And until that happy day comes, I shall be fully engaged in trying to bring it about.
Couldn't be happier to have you along with us with that at WorldNet Daily and Radio America. Gordon, a pleasure working alongside of you every day, and thank you very much for all that you do.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir. God bless.
Happy birthday. G. Gordon Liddy, 80th birthday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.